You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the first shoe dropping in Denver. The quarterback carousel has begun. There's tons of news. We'll start you there. Plus, it's deadline day for franchise tags. One huge decision will get made. It will change the fortune of two teams just like that. Plus, we got trouble right here in the Windy City with a capital T, which rhymes with B, which stands for the Bears are stuck. Has their plan already gone south? We got all that and a whole lot more. Come on, people. Let's do this thing on a Tuesday. Jeremy Fowler is back with us a long time. He's got lots of news. Legler's knocking down threes all morning long. Plus, we'll have Booger McFarland this morning, Harry Douglas this morning. RG3 will join us in a moment. We've got tons of football to get you to. But starting here, don't look now, Legs. The Lakers are playing really well, taking on the Red Hot Thunder, who've been as good as anybody all year long, and LeBron putting on a show.
Yeah, LeBron was great early. Lakers picked up their defensive intensity in this one against a team that has been unbelievable on back-to-back.
Look at that pass. Anthony Davis, Lakers by 17.
Incredible pass. I think even a better catch and finish. There are a lot of bigs that are going to catch that ball in traffic and finish it.
LeBron would score 19. You see him working in here with the left hand.
Yeah. Great job, great patience, the jump stop, the footwork, getting to the rim at the left.
But you know who led all scorers last night? D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, he gave everybody a show. And watch the Lakers bench react to this little run he
right
goes
here.
On here.
Yep.
Exactly, this one, little behind the back, between the legs, fade away, and look at the bench reaction. D'Angelo Russell on a mini heater.
They're having fun. He had a game-high 26. Again, LeBron 19, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. Don't look now. The Lakers are playing well. They win at 116-104. They were a game under 500 to start the month of February. Since then, they've just flat out turned it around. They're 10-4. That's the sixth best record in the league in that span. It's in the same stratosphere as you see here with other contenders. All we talk about is the Celtics. Obviously, they've been on a different level from anybody. But the Lakers are a team to watch. Much more with Legler as the morning continues. In the meantime, the big news yesterday, it was expected, but it came a little early. Russell Wilson will be released by the Broncos. They informed him that just 18 months after they signed him to a five-year, $242 million contract. They traded 5 picks and 3 players. Russell was benched the final 2 games of last season by Sean Payton, and now he's free to find his next destination. Here's Shefty with the insight.
His mindset is, I'm ready to go win and show people that I am the type of quarterback that I know I am. Now, it's up to another team to give him that opportunity. But somebody's going to strike out on Kirk Cousins. Somebody's not going to land Justin Fields. Somebody's going to be sitting there in the end saying, why would we not take a gamble, a roll of the dice, a dart throw on a guy who cost us nothing? And because of all those elements, I believe he comes into play in more places than people think because of all the elements surrounding his particular situation.
And you could, Fowler was nodding along as he was talking. And he's going to have more interest than you thought. And by the way, Legler asked us right before the show, how old is Russell Wilson now? He's 35. I think sometimes we perceive him to be much older than that because he started as a rookie. Feels like he's been around forever. He was in the same draft class as Robert Griffin III. We got RG3 signal working just in time. Perfect. So, Robert, I'll start with you because we know what the – now, you and I talked about it this morning. There's been a narrative out there about Russell, and I think you've got a lot you want to say about it.
Yeah, Greeny, I've been waiting for this conversation for quite some time. Appreciate you having me back on the show. The bottom line is Russell Wilson's a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's easily a top 20 quarterback in the NFL, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of hearing Russell Wilson's name get drugged through the mud. You're talking about a guy that in year one in Denver, yeah, it was a disaster. But last year, I watched every snap from the past 2 seasons, and Russell Wilson had a top 5 touchdown to interception ratio, 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. He led the Broncos in the middle of the season to a 5-0 record and beat the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and that vaunted Browns defense. So for me, hearing everyone talk about him the way that they have doesn't really match up to the way he played, and it certainly doesn't match up to the fact that Russell Wilson is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's had a Hall of Fame career already at this point in his timeline, and he's not getting the respect that he has earned, not only from a guy like Sean Payton, who came in there to coach him, but also from the media. And you notice I said earned, not deserved, because life isn't fair. But Russell Wilson has proven that he can play the position at a high level, and now he has an opportunity to go prove that he can still be that guy for another 3, 4, 5 years.
It's a really interestingly made point and very well made on your part. And I would actually add to it, sometimes it feels like Sean Payton was brought in there to get rid of him. You could say he was brought in there to coach him. It felt almost from the moment it started like he was brought in there to initiate that change. 1 year after they basically gave up the sun, the moon, and the stars to bring him in there. Although, Harry, I was listening to your radio show yesterday, and you had, I don't know that it's necessarily a contrary position, but it was an interesting one.
Yeah, Greeny, from what I witnessed from Sean Payton when it came to Russell Wilson since the moment he got there, and then when we got the news yesterday that he was going to be released of his duties, and the $85 million cap hit that they're going to be taking on, they didn't only dislike Russell Wilson. In my eyes, and you see on this screen right now, Sean Payton, the way he treated Russell Wilson as well, he hated Russell Wilson. And I think that was evident to see. You go to somebody during the season and ask them to take get rid of their injury clause in their contract, and you still have an opportunity to contend for the playoffs. That don't tell me that you like that human being. You have a franchise quarterback, and you publicly, you know, humiliate him on TV in front of the world. That doesn't tell me you like him. It tells me you might hate him. And then you're willing to take on that $85 million in cap hit by cutting Russell Wilson. I just think it was a match made in hell for the Denver Broncos and also Russell Wilson by joining Sean Payton and connecting those two together. And the way Russell Wilson played last year, it was evident if he was on the Atlanta Falcons, hell, they would have made the playoffs. If he was on the Pittsburgh Steelers, they would have been better at the quarterback position. If he was with the New England Patriots, they would have been better at the quarterback position. So I don't think Russell Wilson deserved a lot of the treatment that he got from the Denver Broncos organization.
All right, I think a lot of that is fair. So, as we set the sort of table with that, now we come to our information man extraordinaire. Jeremy, you and I were just talking, because Legler is the best football fan you'll ever meet. He's grilling Fowler sitting over here before the show starts. You think he's going to have a lot of options, don't you?
Yes, because of the value. His free agency essentially starts today, even though he's not going to be cut until the new league year. Denver's given him permission to go talk with teams, so that could get started in earnest. Some dominoes need to fall, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, etc. But it can't be overstated what kind of value he is, because he can literally sign for the vet minimum because Denver's paying him $39 million. And I'm told that plan is firmly on his radar. He wants to help his new team by being a bargain. So there will be a market for that. He wants to go to a team, I'm told, to not only win, but has an infrastructure, a history of winning.
Well, so give me some places we should be keeping an eye on.
I'm looking at Vegas. The feeling coming out of the combine last week is that Atlanta's going to have a high pecking order. They could certainly walk away with Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield if available, Justin Fields. But there will be other teams that can't fill that void. I look at the Raiders, right? They haven't been in the mix on some of those top guys. They're picking 13th overall in the draft. Can they really jump into the top three? That's going to be hard. Sierra can do a Vegas residency over there, like the Vegas Lights, throw in Devontae Adams. It makes a lot of sense to me.
So you were telling Legler before the show that you like the feel of that. Let me throw a different thought at you, Robert, because this has come up here, and I've brought it up a few times, and I don't mean it to sound insulting, because I don't think it is that. Russell Wilson, to your point, is a guy who's accomplished practically everything, right? He's set a bunch of records, won a Super Bowl, wasn't another one. He will have made $300 million after this year, whether he plays or not. So the idea that he might go somewhere if he's not guaranteed a job, if he doesn't have any guaranteed money the following season, all that kind of stuff, I don't think it's questioning him in any way to say, you know what, a lot of guys might just walk away, say, I'm good here. When you hear people suggest that, RG3, what do you think?
Well, Greeny, it's the suggestion isn't what bothers me, that he on his own, you know, under his own control, walk away from the game of football. That's different than saying he's not good enough to play or that no one is going to want him. I feel like right now for Russell Wilson, he's going to need a season to rehabilitate his image publicly. So I look at this as the perfect opportunity for Russell to have his Alex Smith arc. Think about Alex Smith when he went from San Fran to the Kansas City Chiefs. They ended up drafting Patrick Mahomes. He sat for a year behind Alex, and then Alex got traded to Washington and signed a $90 million-plus extension. I feel like that's where Russell Wilson is right now. So to take him to Pittsburgh, who seems like they might be ready to win now in the division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, I don't know if that's ideal. That's why everyone wants to go to Atlanta, because they know that division is weak. But my ideal fit for Russell Wilson would be the New England Patriots. I understand it's a first-time head coach, and you're saying to yourself, why would you put him through the same thing you put him through with Hackett there, Nathaniel Hackett? But for me, it gives him an opportunity to naturally be a leader, be a stabilizing force for an organization that has a history of winning and that we all believe is going to take a quarterback in the high part of that draft. That guy can learn from Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson can use that to piggyback himself to a new team, which he does want to play for another 4, 5, 6 years. It's a little, you know, that's going to be into his 40s, but that's what he wants to do. I think he has to reestablish himself this year.
Well, look, I mean, I think that the definition of old for a quarterback has been rewritten at this point. Tom Brady playing till he was 45. Aaron Rodgers now playing into his 40s. Guys are doing it, and it makes sense. And you see Harry's picks there, Falcons, Steelers. We'll see which way they wind up going. Very quickly, one other piece of big news here. Let me just let Jeremy run through all the franchise tag stories of the day, because today is the deadline for this. You see it there. Less than 8 hours. Let's go through some of the hot spots here, starting in Kansas City.
Yes, L'Jarius Sneed, cornerback star, is franchise tagged. He's under contract now for $19.8 million next year, but the Chiefs are working on a potential tag and trade, sending him to a new team. Detroit is believed to be in the high-end cornerback market. They're trying to get over the hump. Miami is a potential option. So the Chiefs are trying right now to re-sign Chris Jones to a deal that could be close to $30 million a year while they're dealing with this Sneed situation. So it's very much one to watch. And you go to Cincinnati, T. Higgins. He already has the franchise tag with the Bengals. He's in the plans for 2024 at around $22 million. But I'm told he wants a long-term deal. This is not necessarily a cordial situation at the moment, because this is a player who really would be a number one receiver on a lot of teams. He's set to get paid. It's uncertain whether the Bengals are willing to pay him what he wants. Teams will be in the market for him. They're going to probably dangle some trade picks to see if they can acquire him, to see if the Bengals move off him and actually make that move. And you got the New York Giants today with Saquon Barkley. The expectation at large is that he will not be franchise tagged. That number would be about $12 million. That's a little steep for the running back position at this point. But I'm also told the Giants haven't totally taken it off the table. They've been evaluating Saquon Barkley and their star safety, Xavier McKinney. So possibly they put the tag on one of them, but it's largely not expected. And Barkley will have suitors. He'll be the top option among a loaded running back free agent.
And off he goes. A little later in the program, we'll talk about Saquon Barkley, the difference he might be able to make somewhere. Is he the missing piece for a contender someplace? We have a few ideas where they might send him. All right, let me take a quick break on that thought here. We will roll on this morning. Coming up, is there a bear market for Justin? The one big domino that may have to fall before Fields is traded out of Chicago. Spoiler alert, that situation is not going well for the Bears. Plus, the D in Big D stands for deal. Can they strike one with Dak? You'll hear what he had to say yesterday about his contract, and we'll tell you why this is about to get very complicated. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. The next game is QB Quick Reads. Jeremy, super important. Kirk Cousins seems to be the apple of everybody's eye. What's the latest on him?
Greeny, I'm told the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins representatives are expected to reconvene this week and discuss a potential deal. But Minnesota is bracing for the possibility the Cousins will hit the open market and negotiate with other teams. The feeling out of the NFL Combine is that the Atlanta Falcons will be heavily in the mix for Cousins if that happens. Guaranteed money could be the sticking point here. That's always been his MO, to get high guarantees.
All I heard all weekend long was Cousins to Atlanta, left and right. RG3, how about Baker Mayfield? What's the best spot for him?
Greeny, the best fit for Baker Mayfield is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Listen, if I'm cooking in my kitchen, I already know where to turn that knob to get the flavors to pop at just the right time. Baker has done an amazing job having the best season of his career there in Tampa. He'll continue to get the chance to throw the football to Mike Evans, and he also knows where the trash can is in that kitchen, and that's where he needs to throw all those other offers from the other teams. Stay at home, go play, be a Buck for at least the foreseeable future, and be their guy.
All right, that was well prepped on your part there. I liked it. Harry, Justin Fields seems all but certain to be on the move. What's the best fit for him?
Well, since RG3 mentioned cooking in your own kitchen, Justin Fields might as well cook in his own kitchen, the one he grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, with the Atlanta Falcons. You talk about the NFC South and that division being one of the weakest in the National Football League right now. You look at the young talent on that roster with Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and also the coaching staff. I love Raheem Morris and the energy that he brings to the football field, also an organization. So I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons.
Look, I think Atlanta is where all these guys would like to go, right? All the reasons you guys have described, there are a lot of attractive things about it. But at least in the case of Fields, it isn't fully up to him. Here was Shefty, some more from him on McAfee yesterday, talking about how this trade market has not been what the Bears hoped it would be.
I don't think the market for him right now is as robust as the Bears and he had thought. I'll be curious to see if they can get a deal done in place by next Monday, or they have to wait for some of these other quarterback moves to shake out before they can find a home for Justin Fields.
So that's important here, okay? So the moves that they're waiting to shake out, one of them we just talked about, right? Kirk Cousins, Atlanta. If he doesn't go there, maybe the Falcons become interested. There's one more piece of this that you may not have paid close attention to over the weekend. But, Jeremy, you pointed out to me it's a big deal. If the Bears have made up their minds they want to select Caleb Williams.
Right.
A decision he made this weekend at the Combine might actually be delaying a lot of things.
Yeah, so teams are slow playing this. Interested in Justin Fields, yes, he's expected to have a market, but there was not a lot of buzz coming out of the NFL Combine because teams expect that the Bears are going to make that move for Caleb Williams or a quarterback at one, so they know that they have to trade Fields, and so they're not jumping out of the market. Plus, Kirk Cousins is probably the biggest domino that has to fall right now. Once he goes to either Atlanta or Minnesota, presumably, that opens up the door a little more for Fields. Teams expect he still has a market of, say, like a day two pick, a second or third round pick. He will have options. Field has not, I'm told, applied pressure yet, though. He's not requested a trade, not created a wish list of teams, but he has several that are on his radar.
Look, no one is you can't handle a situation better than Justin Fields has from the moment he got there. Yeah. And so, look, sometimes it feels like things like this, you have to sort of put your flag in the ground, and if I turn out to be wrong, I'll turn out to be wrong. RG3, I'm going to say it to you directly. If someone gets Justin Fields for a third-round pick, we are going to look back on that someday as one of the great trades that we've ever seen in the NFL. He is so ridiculously talented. His level of maturity is off the charts. His leadership off the charts. He has handled an impossible situation in Chicago with greater class and professionalism than I could ever possibly imagine practically from the day he got there. If he winds up, I'm scared of how good it might be if he winds up in Atlanta. You put him in the right situation, he is going to be great. I would trade a third round pick to Chicago for Justin Fields right now so fast it would make your head spin. RG3, what do you think?
No, Greeny, I agree with you completely. I would trade that third round pick as well. What I think is really going on here is that the Bears are afraid to miss out on a generational talent in Caleb Williams for all the wrong reasons. They've missed out on quarterbacks before, and I think they're thinking through this pick in a way of, maybe we should make this pick so that they don't say we passed up on a generational talent. But when I look at this Bears team, they need receivers, they need pass rushers, they need interior defense alignment. They just got rid of Kareem Jackson, so they need secondary. And they've only got 5 picks in the NFL draft right now. So if I'm saying to myself, well, I don't want to pass on a generational quarterback like Caleb Williams, well, am I going to be able to put a roster around him that's going to allow him to succeed? Because if you draft Caleb Williams and you're not able to win with him and put a roster around him, you're getting fired. Well, if you pass on Caleb Williams and you don't put the roster around Justin Fields and build around him and be able to win this coming season, you're going to get fired. So I think teams are actually calling the Bears bluff right now. The closer we get to the draft, the less they're going to get for Justin Fields. If I'm a team, I'm keeping my draft capital. I'm calling the Bears bluff and I'm forcing them to make that pick at number one. It seems like they are clearly wanting to move on from Justin Fields. And to your point, Greeny, the fact that he has handled it the way that he has is even more proof to me that the Bears should be building around Justin Fields and not worrying about that first pick. Trade that bad boy and go get a roster that you can put on the field to win.
That's correct. Look, I think that's a really well-made point. I'm not suggesting that it's the wrong thing to do. You reset the clock, all that stuff. I understand all of the factors that go into this. It isn't an easy and obvious decision. But the one point that must be made is that selecting Caleb Williams will not allow you to go back in time and have taken Patrick Mahomes when it turns out that you should have. Like, it doesn't work that way. Harry, give me a final word on all this.
Well, what's unique in this situation, though, guys, when you look at Caleb Williams, Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Bears, was in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes was drafted. So if you're reviewing that tape and at any moment you feel like he's any kind of sense of Patrick Mahomes, I know that's saying a lot because Patrick Mahomes is the standard in the National Football League. But if anyone should know, it would be Ryan Poles because he was in Kansas City, director of college scouting at the time when Patrick Mahomes was drafted there. He would know. So if you have any sense that Caleb Williams could be anything like Patrick Mahomes, then you have to take him at number one overall.
I understand that. Yeah. Again, and if you could also bring Andy Reid in there, it might help too. Go ahead.
Right.
What was that?
So if the Bears pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option in 2025, it's $26 million. Right. A new rookie quarterback could be a small fraction of that. They get to reset their books. And Ryan Poles, Fields is not his guy, so he hasn't picked his guy yet.
I get it. I'm not sitting here telling you that it is a disastrously bad decision. I could argue either side of what the Bears should do. What I'm saying is, if I'm the Steelers and I have a chance to get Justin Fields right now for a day two pick, I mean, I can't, there are no words to describe how quickly I'd be dialing the phone. In the meantime, we're talking about the Cowboys. Jerry says they're going all in. Dak responds. You need to hear what he said, and you will, coming up. Plus, we showed you LeBron and the Lakers. Will they be one and done in the playoffs? Think again. We'll give you reason to believe they could go a lot farther than that. Don't look now. This team is hot. We'll show you later. Get up, ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up. Bottom of the hour, the Cowboys. Dak Prescott speaking yesterday about his contract situation and the possibility of working out an extension. It's the first time we've heard from him in quite a while. Remember, his cap hit for next season is prohibitive. It's almost $60 million. An extension is critical to bring that number down substantially, and he has all the leverage in the world. Here's what he said yesterday.
I'm definitely confident. Obviously, it helps the team. It's important for the numbers. That is a process. Both sides understand that. Everything's great, and it'll happen.
Well, Jerry says all in. What does that mean to you?
I'm excited to see it, honestly. I don't know. I can't say I've had talks with him about what is all in and how you plan on making those moves. So, but, yeah, let's see. I'm excited for it.
Okay, so a few things. They can't be all in anything. They're exclusively all out until they figure out something with Dak's contract, right? I mean, he has a cap hit. I think, Hambo, tell me if I get this right. Like, the highest salary cap hit that any player had last year was like $36 million. Dax is $59 for next season. So they obviously have to get something done. Where does that stand?
Yeah, it's not only that. 2025, if he were to walk away, he'd have like $30-plus million in dead salary cap money. So this could honestly be a blank check situation in some regards, but they've talked a little bit, cursory talks at the NFL Combine, but I'm told that negotiations have not really intensified yet. That's not a concern. They got months to shake this out. The Cowboys are projecting that they're leaving all options open, including him playing his final year of his deal. I would be very surprised if they don't work something out.
Well, it would be so prohibitive from a cap standpoint to allow him to play it out without them making any adjustments to it one way or the other. And so, RG3, I really liked the response you had to me when I asked you this morning. Well, you know, we had the thing with Micah Parsons' brother. We had the thing with C.D. Lamb's mother. You're a quarterback. You've lived this experience of having to be the leader and all that sort of thing. What impact does that have on everything? What was your answer, RG3?
Yeah, Greeny, my answer was, if you pay a quarterback $60 million a year, he's willing to deal with anybody's mother or brother or any other family member. So I don't think Dak's really worried about that. He knows that as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, that the scrutiny comes with it. I think Dak has proven that he can be the quarterback for the Cowboys to go win a Super Bowl. I think he played at an MVP level the majority of the year last year. So Dak Prescott isn't necessarily the issue. The issue is Jerry Jones and the culture that he has created there for the Dallas Cowboys. Huh. If you really think about this, that star on the helmet has become more notorious for getting guys into big broadcast positions post-playing career than it has for them to win a Super Bowl on the field in the last 25, 30 years. So for me, with Jerry Jones, he has to first admit that there is a problem and that that culture that's been created is that the fact that the Dallas Cowboys have been killing the ratings. I mean, we talk about them on TV. You got people making fun of them on TV, and it just skyrockets. People love to watch. But I think the Dallas Cowboys have become the anti-Floyd Mayweather, right? People watched Floyd Mayweather as a boxer because they wanted to see him lose. But Floyd never lost. And the Cowboys simply never win. They go into hibernation when it's time to be able to win when it matters in January, let alone get into February. They got to figure out a way to allow a coach to come in there. I know Mike McCarthy is going to be the coach this year, but I think a coach that can challenge Jerry Jones and make him uncomfortable is the only way that the Cowboys are going to get over that hump. Right now, they're too cuddly like teddy bears, especially when it comes to the line of scrimmage.
That's really interesting thoughts all the way around. Harry, what do you think of the whole thing?
Well, to piggyback off what RG3 just said, one of the greatest quotes that I got from my receiver coach, Sean Jefferson, when I was in Tennessee, you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Comfortability drives complacency, and that's what we see from the Dallas Cowboys and their organization. And for Jerry Jones, he has to be better, right, as an owner, also as a GM, also not wanting to be in the light when it comes to everything with this organization, with this team. Now, does he have every right to? Yes, he does, because he's the owner. But that doesn't mean it's right for the football team and them moving forward. And then when it comes to big-time games and big-time moments, the star players got a ball like star players. That's Dak Prescott. That's Michael Parsons. That's everyone else amongst that roster. I think that's one of the things that's been hindering this football team from getting to an NFC championship game. And if we're talking about when the last time they've been to one, it was January of 1996. Y'all, we had the Olympics in Atlanta that summer. So I was a kid. We literally had the doing? Olympics
Harry, where were you?
In Atlanta
January
that summer.
January of 1996. Where was Harry Douglas?
Man, Harry was a hoop star, baby. I was Euro-stepping, doing my little thing, greedy behind the back, shooting the trifecta. I was giving people hell on the hoop court.
Yeah, me too. Just as a final quick thought from you, Fowler. The real issues they have also are they're going to try and get deals done with some of their other stars. Yeah. We're into that part of the year now. Should we be expecting that? Should we be expecting Micah Parsons to get the contract, C.D. Lamb, all these contracts we've been talking about? Should we be expecting that?
Yeah, Dallas is going to spend a fortune. They've already pretty much committed to that. C.D. Lamb, I do expect to get done. Micah Parsons, he's got 2 years left on his contract with the fifth-year option. That could take a little longer.
Should we be expecting them to be in the market for someone like Saquon Barkley?
Ooh, I think they're looking at running back. I don't know about that price point, $10 to $12 million, if it's going to take that. They're going to look into their options, though. They're looking for an explosive running back, for sure. I just don't know. I don't think they're going to spend that price point.
All right, let's get Legler rolling here. We have much more football as we go through the day. Again, the league year starts a week from tomorrow. But let's get to the NBA. Legler, we opened the show showing you the Lakers continuing to roll. They knock off Oklahoma City. For those of you not paying attention, the Thunder are just about as good as anybody in the West. D'Angelo Russell leading the way last night with 26. Anthony Davis had 24 and 12. LeBron had 19 and 11. The Lakers have now won the season series against the Thunder 3-1, and they have the sixth best record in the NBA since the start of February. And a big reason why that has been is they have surged around LeBron James. Anthony Davis averaging 25 points a game and 13 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell stepping up what he's been doing. All the conversation about them being so reliant on LeBron getting a little less noisy. And so quickly, Legs, as we revisit this, again, we showed you the highlight of the game off the top of the show. We take their temperature a lot.
Yeah.
In December, they were pretty good, right? Yeah. I mean, they win the play-in. I keep calling it the play-in. Sorry, the in-season tournament. And then all of a sudden, I mean, they just disappear, basically, for the month of January. All of a sudden, do they look like a team that could get on a roll?
Yeah, saying we take their temperature a lot is the understatement of the century. I walk around with a thermometer in my hand at all times so we can take the Lakers' temperature. Uh-huh. Listen, this is a roller coaster ride. I love the graphic we just put up. We can talk about LeBron because LeBron's always great. LeBron is not the variance with this team. The variance comes from Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Hachimura, some of their role-playing three-point shooters. And Anthony Davis, to me, is the biggest difference during this stretch. He's just been so physically dominant. His energy has been off the charts. When he plays against smaller front lines, as the Oklahoma City Thunder have, he absolutely destroys them. But his skill, his size, his strength, And LeBron and Anthony Davis, the way they can impose what they can do physically on certain teams, it's a little bit too much. Now, look, they've had some really good wins. They're 10-4 in their last 14. They've beaten some bottom feeders, and they've lost to some good teams. It's a mixed bag. They're in a very interesting stretch right now, Greeny. They are 3 games into a stretch of 10 out of 11 at home. So you can, and some of those teams are like middle of the pack to below. You're going to start to see the Lakers continue to climb a little bit here and really make things interesting. But they finish, I believe, with 8 out of 10 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So that stretch at the end, I still think when it's all said and done, there's a very good chance the Lakers are a play-in team.
Yep.
They've got a lot of ground to make up. 3 games in a loss column on Phoenix to get out of the play-in. Phoenix is going to continue to win games once they get all 3 guys on the court. That's a big if. So I don't know that the Lakers can catch New Orleans, can catch Phoenix. I think they're going to be a play-in team. So it's a dicey, precarious situation when you're in a one-off situation,
yep,
potentially, right? But there's no doubt they are more interesting and compelling than they were, you know, 6 weeks ago. There's no question about it.
All right, let me give you another one then. So I don't do the league, I don't do the games anymore, but that doesn't mean I'm not paying attention. So I'm going to tell you what I think. In Milwaukee last night, no Giannis, no problem. Damian Lillard, 41 points. The Bucks beat the Clippers, who are one of the best teams in the league, 113-106. After starting 3-7 under Doc Rivers, Milwaukee is unbeaten since the All-Star break. They've won 6 consecutive games. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. We spent all yesterday, oh, the Celtics just beat Golden State by 107 points, and no one can even play with them. Here's what I'm telling you. By the time we get to the end of this regular season, you and I will be having conversations about how it is a 2-horse race in the East. Milwaukee is every bit as dangerous in the East as the Celtics are, and they will prove it by the time we get to the middle of April.
I would agree with that statement, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Knicks look like a Civil War reenactment right now, right? I mean, there's nobody healthy.
Yeah, I know.
And we're waiting to see, like, what that would look like, because I was very high on their acquisitions, 4 new players in their rotation, all of whom fit well. Thibodeau's got a lot of depth, but you have to have time to sort out a rhythm, a flow, a rotation. If you're Tom Thibodeau, defensive communication. It takes time, and they're so banged up. So I think the Knicks are very interesting. I'd watch out for the Heat as well, but I think you're right. Right now, the way that they're playing, and you know, we said all along, it's going to take time with a coach. It's even harder for a coach than a player on the fly to really impact the team, but they are definitely playing harder. So some message has gotten through to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Look, the way it all went down with Doc and him leaving here and everything else, there were a lot of people that were dying to pile on. Oh, we want to see this fail so badly. And it starts out slowly, so I think we overstated, by we I mean sort of the royal we, the world kind of overstated how significant that is. As time goes on, they're going to get better and better. So I'm not just telling you they're the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East. I think that's almost an obvious statement. I'm telling you, I give them a 50-50 shot of beating them when they play each other in 7 games.
I'll take
Giannis over anybody on the other side.
I wouldn't go 50-50, but I'd
49-51.
I'd probably put that more at 65-35 Celtics. They would deserve to be in the ring with them, right, and go toe-to-toe. At the end of the day, the Boston Celtics, because they've got 5 players in their starting lineup that impact the game on both ends of the floor, and they absolutely end you with their 3-point shooting. If you don't have an answer for that, and I don't think any teams in the Eastern Conference do, Boston Celtics are going to play in the NBA Finals, barring some sort of an injury. But the Bucks are going to make that series and that discussion a lot more interesting the rest of the season.
There's going to come a moment. We're going to revisit this conversation. Okay. Just put a little bookmark in this.
I can't wait to revisit this discussion.
In the meantime, you know what else we can't wait for? Again, he's the biggest Commander.
I got my thermometer.
You'll ever meet. No. We got the sizing up the draft.
Oh, let's go.
Who's your quarterback?
Drake May, baby. Let's go. I'm all in on Drake May.
He wants Drake May. Does RG3 think he's right? We'll find out next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We are back on Get Up and back to the NFL. It's time for Threes Keys with RG3. Three big quarterbacks in this draft. Let's talk about their keys to success, starting with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Greeny, Threes Keys for the rookie QBs. We all know that Caleb Williams is a unique guy on and off the field. What do I want to see? I don't want to see him go to Chicago. I want to see him be in D.C., back where he grew up, reuniting with the coach in Cliff Kingsbury who coached him last year. We all know that for Caleb Williams, it's all about him being understood. Who's going to understand him better than his previous coach and the place where he grew up playing the game? There's no place like home. For Drake may he sit a year? Listen, Drake May is 21 years old. He's the youngest, one of the youngest QBs in this draft class, and he's got the least starting experience. I think Drake May has the arm strength, he's got the mind and the athleticism to wow people, but maybe Drake should stay somewhere between I got it and I still want it. That way he can show them that he is the guy and the missing piece that they had. Let Drake May sit a year and learn behind a veteran quarterback so he can go out and be your quarterback of the future. And then for Jaden Daniels, listen, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think Jaden Daniels should go to the Las Vegas Raiders and be with the coach that recruited him to Arizona State and Antonio Pierce. Jaden Daniels makes the Raiders a playoff team immediately this year if they go and get him. Him with Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, and Michael Meyer is a good start. Jaden Daniels is an explosive playmaker, and he's exactly what the doctor ordered for Raiders Nation.
Really interesting on all three of those. All right, I want to dive in a little bit here. I want you to hear what Hawk said yesterday. So Andrew Hawkins was on with us yesterday, and this was what he said about which of these quarterbacks he thinks is the surest thing.
Jaden Daniels, to me, has the highest floor. I think Caleb Williams has the higher ceiling. He has an incredible arm talent. He does some things natural that you just can't teach a quarterback, not at this juncture, not in their entirety of their career. But that being said, if I'm a general manager, I feel like the more sure thing is Jaden Daniels.
So, I mean, everyone's got opinions, and it's all fascinating. RG3, you're not the first person. I've had Dan Orlovsky said the same thing about Drake May, that the best situation for him is one where he's not forced to play immediately. So I think that's an interesting piece of this. And again, RG3 does the college games for us. Harry Douglas, you do so much college for us as well. So you know these guys well. Do you agree with that thought? If Jaden Daniels, is he a sure thing, slam dunk to step into the NFL and be a difference maker?
Greeny, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a difference maker, but what Hawk said there was that he thinks he's more of a sure thing than Caleb Williams. I think my own experience in the NFL can show everybody that there's no such thing as a sure thing, and it's very easy to take the guy that had the last best season and put him first. The bottom line is this, Greeny. Caleb Williams is the perfect combination of all the quarterbacks in this draft class. If you want to talk about the guy that's the best pure thrower, it's Michael Penix Jr. You want to talk about the guy that has is the most explosive passer and runner, then it's certainly Jaden Daniels. You talk about Drake May with his measurables. You talk about Bo Nix with his experience. You talk about J.J. McCarthy with the fact that he's the best winner in the group. We can go on for days and days. But the bottom line is, take all those guys, put them together, and you get Caleb Williams. This is what we do every single offseason. We debate the quarterbacks. We throw rocks at the guy that's been at the top. But both these guys, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, both have a Heisman Trophy. I've watched every single snap of these guys over the past few seasons because, one, it's my job, and, two, I take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft class. That is unequivocal. All the rest of the guys are all fighting for second, but they're all very talented players, and I'm not going to be the one that tears any of them down because I think they all could have a bright future.
No, absolutely. No, that's really well put. It's not tearing anyone down to say I think this one guy is the best and he would be the first pick that I have. Harry, jump in here. I mean, that was a really good look at the top of this NFL draft. How do you see it, Harry Douglas?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think we all know the National Football League. It's not a sure thing just because a guy had a lot of production at the college level. So we definitely got to be careful with saying that. Right. But when I'm looking at all three quarterbacks, if we're just taking last season, with Jaden Daniels and what he was able to do win the Heisman Trophy. This is a guy who completed 72% of his passes, 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. But also the last 2 years, he's rushed for over 2,000 yards and 21 touchdowns. But I think at the end of the day, when I look at Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams is projected to be the number one overall pick for a reason, y'all. He won a Heisman Trophy in 2022, and the season that he had, being able to rush the football effectively over 10 touchdowns, and what he was able to, how he was able to throw and maneuver, and you look at the wild plays. Now, I think Jaden Daniels plays from the pocket better than Caleb Williams, but I think that's something Caleb Williams can get better at moving forward if he's coached up properly to be more patient within the pocket. But I think when you look at all these guys, and I think last year's draft, or not last year's draft, but Zach Wilson's draft, that draft told us that we can't just say these guys are going to be a sure thing. They have to go out there and perform at a high level, but they got to have the right pieces around them. They have to have the right infrastructure and also the right coaches around them to help develop their talents moving forward.
That's true of all quarterbacks, for sure. I agree with that. So, you know, it's funny because we always look for consensus opinions on things. The reality is, only one team is going to really matter, right, Jeremy? I mean, one team is going to wind up with the first pick in the draft. Right now, it's the Bears. It seems likely to remain the Bears. What is your sense of how this situation plays itself out?
Yeah, so the feeling among teams I talked to is that Caleb Williams is a cut above, will be that first pick. Number two is up for debate right now. Teams are really torn on what Washington is exactly going to do. I know that Washington is getting calls about potential trade-ups for that number two spot, but they're likely going to stay put, take their quarterback of the future. I'll believe it when I see it as far as Jaden Daniels going ahead of Drake May because of the high-end traits that May has, those Justin Herbert comparisons. Some teams are going to fall in love with that, whether it's Washington at 2, New England at 3, and then, you know, J.J. McCarthy is a bit of a wild card, probably the most intriguing player in this entire draft. I've talked to enough scouts who said, look, if I'm a GM, top 10, I'm probably taking him.
So J.J. McCarthy, for what it's worth, so our Jordan Reed, one of our excellent draft analysts, put out a 2-round mock draft this morning. It is hot off the presses. It's been up for about an hour. And he has J.J. McCarthy going 11 to Minnesota. This, of course, I assume would presuppose that Kirk Cousins winds up leaving in free agency. Yesterday, I had Mike T in here telling me he thinks J.J. McCarthy will be long gone by that point, that there are some trade spots, maybe the number 5 pick in this draft that teams will trade up for to try and get ahead of the Giants. Is your sense that McCarthy's stock is rising that level of quickly?
Yes, because even though he was projected as a game manager because Michigan didn't throw the ball a lot, I'm told that he doesn't have game manager traits. He has high-end ability. When he was asked to move around and make the big-time throws, he did it. Teams love his makeup, threw the ball really well at the combine. And so you look at New York at 6, Atlanta at 8, Minnesota at 11. All those teams could be in that market potentially.
And could be in the market then competing with each other to try and trade up, which is the point that Mike T was making. Oh, you're over here. Very quickly, RG3, if I can. Your thought, I didn't get your take on J.J. McCarthy. I only have about 30 seconds here. Give me a quick thought on him.
Yeah, no problem, Greeny. The bottom line is J.J. McCarthy is worthy of a top 10 pick. You look at what he's done. Our guy Hembo sent me some stats. He ran the ball 25 times, threw it 103 times this past season, I believe it was, what'd he say, against ranked teams. Mm-hmm. And he didn't turn the ball over one time. J.J. McCarthy is the best winner, 27-1 record. And he's so much better as an athlete and football player than people give him credit for. I think he's worthy of a top 10 pick, and he can do great things in the NFL.
I think he's going to wind up going that direction. Harry, we'll let you go. Always awesome to see you. Booger McFarland is going to jump in as we continue in a moment, and we'll go back to the top. The Bronco breakup for Russell Wilson. Is it possible this was the worst trade in NFL history? Plus, how about his future? Can he revive his fortune someplace else? We're talking about it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.